Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Dr. Annette Weber, a senior fellow and Sudan expert at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. Dr. Weber, what kind of disparate groups do we have within the TMC?
I would say three very different ambitions. One group, the armed group, the traditional military, is the most trusted, I would argue, by the protesters and the FFC. That's the group that was basically called upon by the protesters to secure the transition, and they have an ethos of, you know, being partially independent from those who are in power, and it's basically a group with a high degree of trust by the population. Then you have the group of Hameti, of General De Gallo, which is the RSF, and I would say right now maybe the strongest and most forceful group. It's the group that is financially independent because most of their fighters are fighting in the alliance in the Yemen war. They are sponsored by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and by the UAE, and they have, you know, a lot of light weapons, light arms. They can move quickly. They have very good tactics, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. Basically, 30,000 of the RSF soldiers are stationed in and around of Khartoum. So basically, the capital is mainly under the control of Hameti's forces, and Hameti seems to be kept in the second row because of the risk of him spoiling the agreement. But I would still argue that he might be the most powerful man these days. The NIS, the National Intelligence Service, under Salah Ghosh, was basically the most influential armed group because they had the link between, you know, the politics and they were also, they have the riot police, and in terms of, you know, following and disturbing the social peace or the political peace, in at least in the capital, it was basically NIS whom people were afraid about. And, you know, you had Salah Ghosh right in the beginning. It seemed like he would still secure the deal for President Bashir, and he dropped Bashir early in April. We don't know exactly where Salah Ghosh is, but it seems quite likely that he is very much orchestrating behind the scenes, because, you know, his ideas and his basically understanding of what should happen is that the system itself should not be replaced. Basically, the old idea, the old NCP cadres should remain, but it's basically only Omar al-Bashir, the president, should go. And everything else will continue.
You are listening to Dr. Annette Weber, a senior fellow and Sudan expert at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. Dr. Weber, do there seem to be signs that the military really, truly is not looking for a junta, but is willing to return to democracy? After all, there's been scant democracy in Sudan since independence from Britain in the 1950s. It really didn't last too long.
That will be the problem that we will that the Sudanese will face in the time that is coming right now, because who really wants to have democracy in the country? Who's supporting which understanding of democracy? Because I think also this is not yet fully clear. If you look at the TMC, you could argue that for the armed groups, it is a very different concept of democracy, or rather the avoidance of democracy. So I think for the military, for them it doesn't matter, because if they have 3 years in the transition, and if they can still gain and keep a high position, but also a huge chunk of the budget, I mean, that's what is in their interest. So democracy or not, Sudan will be a country that needs to have an army, that will be a country that is basically in the middle of a huge number of conflicts. So even under a democratic rule, nobody argues to get rid of the army. Even right now, of course, the question is, what would be happening in under a democratic rule with a group like the NIS, the intelligence service, and what would happen with a group like the RSF, the Rapid Support Forces, which is a militia that is not really under the control of the army, that was under the control of President Bashir, and is not constitutional. So the threat to the RSF and the threat to the NIS would be much bigger than the threat to the army. So therefore, these two groups have much less of an interest to have a change to democracy.
Dr. Annette Weber, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.